Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to another bonus episode of Discovering Downey. As you likely know by now, on July 19th in downtown Toronto, we will be celebrating the finale of our podcast with special guest Patrick Downey as we raise money for the Gord Downey Fund for Brain Cancer Research at Sunnybrook. And after our interview with Patrick, we have the hip tribute, The Almost Hip, playing for us. And on today's episode, we have Craig Dugan of The Almost Hip. How's it going, Craig?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm not too bad.
What's the weather like out there in BC?
It was one of the first really nice days where it actually feels like June, because we have had one of the worst early Junes that I can think of. Just pouring rain, cold. Yeah. How about out there?
Yeah, it was another beautiful day.
Nice. And on the other side of the country, just across the Fraser River from where I am, is my friend and bandmate, Ian McDonnell. We play together in a relatively new hip tribute called Gift Shop, based out of the Vancouver area. How's it going on the other side of the bridge today, Ian?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Excited to be on my first ever Zoom meeting, so.
Oh, wow. Welcome to 2024.
I just dated myself.
So, Craig, I've read that you started back in 1990. Can you tell us a bit about your history as a musician and what led to the formation of The Almost Hip?
In high school, we had a thing called Journey, which we had a cap show and we had a gym show. There was singing in the cap and there was gymnastics in the gym. It was something that kind of caught my attention, so I participated in both of those shows. Like, I was in the vaulting in the gym show, and then in the cap show, I sang a couple of songs. So Pink Houses by John Cougar and Alda Nova's Fantasy.
Oh, wow. There's so a Canadian classic.
Yeah. The first year was Fantasy, and then the second year was Pink Houses. So that got me kind of excited about singing. And then a few years later, a friend of mine asked me to help him out with a wedding. He had a wedding that he was putting a band together for. So I kind of jumped into that band with him. We learned a bunch of songs. We did a wedding, and then that kind of fell apart. And then shortly after that, I was invited into another band where we did covers and originals called Primitive Souls. And we were doing a bunch of hip songs as well as many other covers. But it just seemed that when we did the hip songs, it was kind of like a level up from everything else. And so my lead guitar player in that band and myself, we decided we would form a hip tribute band and just concentrate on the thing we did best. And we called it The Almost Hip.
Wow, that's very cool. So at the time, there would have been only, what, an album or two to take tunes from?
Yeah, so our first set list, I don't have it, but I mean, if I had it, you would see where there was the most of Up to Here. Basically what we did was we learned some of those songs off of the Misty Moon in Halifax show.
Yep.
So Get Back Again. What was the other one there?
Crack My Spine Like a Whip. Yeah. So a lot of the songs that just were released recently with the Saskadelphia.
Exactly. Wow. We were doing them
Playing those way back. That's great.
Yeah. And then we'd have Rockin' in the Free World and, maybe a 5440 song, Baby Ran, or something like that in there too. So we sort of filled it out. We also played three or four originals.
Okay.
So we kind of like the majority of the set was the hip, but to fill out a couple of areas, we added some originals and some covers to fill out those, 3-45 minute sets.
Yeah. which now seems pretty funny, because you would never need to search for songs to fill out a set. We could play for...
Now it's all 100% tragically hip.
Yeah, I know for us, when we play a three-hour show, there's still so many great songs we have to leave off the set list. And It's just amazing how much great music they've put out over the years.
Yeah, we've got a big set list. I don't know if you can see it here. I'll hold it up to the camera.
Yeah,
you can see all the extras, right?
Right.
We've got a bunch of extras. And that's not all of them. So, I mean,
yeah,
we can have a different set list every night, just like they did, and have a different set list every night. So we could do that too.
Yeah, nice. So, Ian, tell us a bit about your experience as a musician and why you chose to start a hip tribute in 2022.
Well, I've always been interested in music. My family immigrated to BC from Northern Ireland to escape the troubles there. And the Irish people are very musical. We all, as a very young age, were you know, it was... I'm going to say demanded, but it was expected that you have some form of ability to entertain. If you had guests over, you had to provide what we called a party piece. So that could be a poem, it could be a dance, it could be a song, or a joke, or whatever. So at a very young age, I was quite astute at having a variety of party pieces at my disposal, because I found out that getting attention was good, felt good. Being the center of attention was good. And I also usually got to stay up later than my siblings. So that was a little bonus. But then, so high school, I took some music lessons and was in band and started a couple of bands within high school doing original music and some covers. Covers more to learn how to perform and to learn our instruments, including my first ever band I was in, included our bass player in Gift Shop. Craig A. Brown was my best friend, and we were in our first couple of bands together. And that progressed to a point where, you know, we had a real shot of writing our own music and recording. We were in Toronto at the North by Northeast Festival. We had a manager, we had some interest, we had some backers financially, but it just didn't happen for us. But we had a couple of CDs that I'm proud of. And I was always a fan of the Tragically Hip, and I was always a fan of Gourds. I've seen them 8 or 10 times. And even though my original music didn't sound anything like the Tragically Hip, as a lyricist, would always hold it up to the standard that Gord set. So I would write something and think to myself, if I was having a beer with Gord, would he be cool with this, or would he think it was shite? So yeah, I very rarely, if ever, kind of felt like I lived up to his standards, but I tried my best to do so. And then I kind of retired, you know, like after we swung for the fences and didn't make it, I kind of started, you know, I had kids and a wife, and was busy living and providing. And and then I kind of went back to performing and met another old friend of ours, Corey, who plays drums for us. And I was in a couple of bands already, and they wanted to do another band. And I said, well, you know, I think if I was going to do something else, I'd like to do a tribute band. And Corey was really kind of excited about doing a hip tribute. So that's the way we went.
Great. So, Craig, you've been playing for quite a long time, as you said. Is there a memorable gig that really sticks out to you, or maybe a couple that... Of shows that really just were like next level?
I guess the first time that we played in front of Trooper at Lulu's here in Kitchener was a big night for us. The place was sold out, and Lulu's was the biggest or the longest bar in the world at the time. It used to be a Kmart, and they made it into a bar. So there's about 5,000, 6,000 people in that bar.
Holy.
And it was just crazy. I remember the first two songs, my eyes were closed. Scared.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But then after, well, 3 or 4 songs, I started to loosen up a little bit.
Right.
So that was pretty scary.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I actually, years ago, when I'm a teacher, when I first started out, one of my students. Her father played, or stepfather, I believe, played in Trooper, played drums. I'm not sure what version that was. He wasn't the original drummer. He was a younger guy, but I remember he came and played a, we did a little kind of coffee house night, and he came in with a couple of buddies and started playing, you know, Tom Sawyer and all these crazy songs on drums. And it was pretty crazy. Ian, how about you? I know we've only been going for a couple of years now, but do you have a couple of shows that, that stick out for you?
Yeah. I'm nothing in the 5,000 people mark, that's for sure. And that sounds like a really exciting show, but, you know, we played the Roxy nightclub in Vancouver, which is a pretty historic spot. It's a favorite watering hole of all the NHL players when they come into town, and have a lot of memories or blurry memories when I was younger and hanging out there. So it was kind of cool to be on the stage there. And we had a very sold out show, and the excitement was palpable, and the sound was great, and the optics are great. And that was a really special night. I think the first time we played there. We played there a few times now, but that one, I think the first time, it's one of the few times I was actually nervous on stage. I generally been doing it so long, I don't necessarily get stage fright anymore. But that that night I had a bit of anxiety before we went on. But as Craig said, quickly leaned into it. Once, just like a hockey player, once you get on the ice and take a couple of hits or deliver a couple, you just forget about the crowd and do what you do.
Yeah, for sure. So Craig, do you have, so I should mention both of you are the vocalists of your respective bands. Craig, do you have a favorite couple of songs that you just love to perform?
Gift Shop.
Good choice.
Grace 2. Head by Century. Three Pistols. I mean, I can go on, but those are the ones that would come right to the mind. Right? Yeah.
Stop.
And what is it about those songs? Is it the audience reaction? Is it something about your part or the lyrics?
It's just my delivery. I like the way I sing them. They're fun to sing.
Yeah. And Ian, how about you? A couple of songs that stick out to you? I know you're a bit of a deep cut guy, but what are a couple that stick out for you?
Yeah, like I'm a B-side guy, but I'll be with Craig when it comes to, you know, if the response is the audience reaction, then, you know, some of the tried and true Three Pistols, Head by Century, those songs always go well. And, you know, you look for them when you look down at the set list from the stage, you go, oh, okay, well, people are going to be dancing on that one for sure. And that, of course, you feed off their energy. But
first thing we climb a tree, and maybe then we talk, or sit silently and listen to our thoughts. Illusions of someday, casting a golden light, no dress rehearsal, this is our where the horn is on me. And I had a feverish dream with revenge and doubt. Tonight we smoke them out. You are
I got to tell you, one of my favorite songs right now that we do, we just learned, is All Tore Up, which was off In Violet Light, I believe. And just because his phrasing is so strange, and it has kind of a punk rock edge, which as an 80s baby, that kind of suits me and what I like in music, that kind of rougher edge to it. And it's just a lot of fun to sing. And I really like On the Verge. It's got a great energy as well. And I'll throw another Midnight in there as well, because what people don't know unless they go on YouTube and see us or whatever, is that Craig Rogers, your host tonight, is not only a fantastic rhythm guitar player, and, you know, his tone and his guitar and stuff is phenomenal, but he's fantastic, probably the best backup singer I've ever played with. And he does his part so well. It's just a joy to sing with him. So those songs that have a really strong backup vocal line, I really look forward to seeing on the set list.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I agree. Those are the songs that I love too, is the ones where we're harmonizing, and there's certain songs where just we're both right in our wheelhouse, and you just feel it when that harmony is sizzling. I'm going to ask you both, what do you think, is there a song that sticks out as being maybe the most difficult to play, whether it be lyric wise, phrasing, register? Is there a song that you know, maybe you need to play early in the night to get it, or maybe a song you don't play as much as you'd like to because you know, it's just challenging, or maybe it's an arrangement that's difficult? Craig, do you have any that come to mind?
Well, we just learned Greasy Jungle, let's say a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And so that one's a little difficult vocally, but I love the tune. I love it.
Yeah.
But just that, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. I like that. It's difficult, but I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Sometimes those are the most rewarding when there is a struggle. I know for us, I'll just mention Morning Moon. We've recently learned, and getting those harmonies and getting them to a place where they were ready to perform. We had it, you know, in our, you know, it was sort of scheduled to learn for months, and it was really a long time before I finally felt confident to put it in a set list. And now it's one of my favorites to play. Ian, do you have one that we play that you felt was a tough one?
Well, I'm trying to think, you know, maybe not purely from, you know, my point of view, but I guess if it's vocally, like the darkest one, or the, you know, gets up there register wise. But then, you know, from the other side of things, you know, there's some songs that, you know, you're trying to reach for things, but there's other times which Gord goes down into his chest voice and he's using, and he's hitting quite a low note. And I find it hard sometimes to project that and be able to, you know, get it out so it's, you know, the audience can hear it. With the darkest one, come in, come in, come in, like it gets down to that low register, which it's hard to hear, I imagine.
Well, the one song that we don't do that has that very low register is that Gently Breathing Lit by the Morning Sun. What song is that?
Oh, At Transformation.
Yeah, that one we don't do because,
yeah.
The first verse is so monotone, so low.
Yeah. That it's quite hard, menacing too, you know.
It's hard to project that one loudly, and then you come into the next verse, it's very loud. So it's like, that one we tried it, we did it, and like when the album came out, and then we dropped it. So just for that
reason. It's a cool song, but I don't know how many audience would have appreciated it unless they were really true hip fans, you know. Like
that was a song they opened up with a lot, especially in the later tours.
That tour.
I believe.
Yeah, but the hip can do what they want, but a band playing.
But you also have a sound man there to boost those lows and pull them back.
Sure,
you know what I mean? You can't do that from your, you know, mixing from the stage yourself.
Yeah. So I thought it would be fun, since we have sort of like a long time running East Coast hip band, we've got a fairly new West Coast hip band. I thought it'd be fun to get you to maybe ask each other a question or two. So, Ian, do you have a question for Craig?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Craig, it's nice to meet you, first of all. I'm really interested in the fact that you've been paying tribute to the band since the 90s, because, you know, for most people, they really became aware of the hip in the 90s, you know. So I wonder what it was like to start out doing it back then and how it was received, because I'm not sure how you feel about this, but for myself, when someone comes out to see our band, I want them to listen to it and think, oh, that guy sounds like Gord and they sound like the hip, and that's cool. And I want them to kind of go, well, he kind of looks like Gord and he kind of moves like Gord a little bit, but I don't want to take it to the point where it feels like I'm taking it for granted or a caricature of that, like an Elvis impersonator. I don't think Gord would like that. You know, I was wondering if you had any, like lots of people party with the hip and they love to hear the songs and stuff like that. But have you ever run into anybody that was kind of like, screw you, you're not the hip, you're not Gord, like, you know, that kind of vibe? And how would you deal with that?
Only online, really.
Only online. Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, you know, we post a show and you get those fellows that like to post things negatively about what we're doing or that. So I don't really see them in a theater or in a bar. I just see them online. You know, they're kind of spamming your gig.
How do you feel about that? Like when you're performing, are you consciously going, well, Gord lifts one leg and lifts one hand here, and oh, he does this there, or he points to himself here, or he points to the audience there? Like,
there's also the smoking the fake cigarette, but no,
yeah,
I don't do any of that stuff. I think because I've been doing it for so long, it's just a natural thing for me now. I just get up and sing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if I do mimic them, it's just because I guess it's sort of built in.
Yeah.
It's nothing that I don't say, okay, on this song, I'm going to do the smoking cigarette, the fake cigarette. And then this song, I'm going to do the wave of the hand. You know, I'm right-handed. Gord is left-handed. So I'm reversed to him anyways. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when he held his mic stand, he was holding it with his right hand. I hold it with the left, or you know, we're reversed. So I don't really worry about trying to do that. I just sing the songs, you know?
Okay.
What's your favorite album?
It's not a popular answer, but honestly, my favorite album is Music at Work.
Okay.
Because I love it. I love how it blends together. And I don't even think my favorite song is on that album, but when I listen to the album as a whole, I love how it sounds. I love how it makes me feel. I love the depth of the lyrics. Probably goes a couple of songs too long, but I don't know what song I would cut off if I had to cut, if I was editing the album. But
how about you, Craig? What's your favorite album?
Up to here. I remember it doesn't matter what year it was. You know, playing horseshoes in the backyard, put the Up to Here on, and then I start hitting ringers. I don't know what it is. I get in the zone with that album. So
in 2000, The Music at Work came out in 2000, and I was lucky enough to see them in Seattle, which is about a 3.5-hour drive from Vancouver. And we have a funny story of my wife and I and some friends went down, and they played at the Moore Theater, and there was a Moore Hotel adjacent to it.
I've stayed there. No bathrooms.
And we were standing outside of the theater as the tour bus pulled up. And they were calling the members in, and there it was only us, you know, standing there, and they were calling the members in for sound check. And so while they were waiting for them, they were just convalescing in the bus. And as we were standing there, and they start, okay, Johnny Faye comes out because they're going to sound check the drums. And we all go, Johnny Faye. Like, for some reason, we had this feeling that we wanted to let them know that we knew who they were, because there was no fanfare for them. There's no one there to, you know. And Robbie Baker, you know, as he walks in, hey guys, and Paul Lewa, you know, and then Gord comes out. He's last to come out, and he looks battle weary and road sore and dusty and grumpy, and his toque is pulled down over his head. And the last thing he wants is fanatical Canadians bugging him on the way into the theater. And my buddy goes, hey Gord, why don't you let us in to hear soundcheck? We drove all the way from Vancouver. And he looks back at the bus and he looks at us and he goes, all the way, huh? And he just walked in. He just walked past the thing. But it was such a fantastic show. And it was the first time that I saw them that they're really dialed in. Johnny Faye played to a click track a lot because they had lots of backing tracks. They had a female backup singer. They had a keyboardist. They really were dialed in and trying to make a sound that was as polished as possible, where previously it was, you know, there was room for looseness, and, you know, so I think that album, they were really trying to sound different and to be a little bit different. So that's, I think, one of the reasons why I like it so much.
So Ian, tell us about the first time that you recall hearing The Hip.
Well, the first time I heard The Hip was the EP, the blue EP on cassette. And that's not all that unusual, as I'm sure that lots of people heard The Hip the first time through that. But my story is that my girlfriend at the time, when I was a young man, that was in what, 86, 87? 86 when the EP came out. Anyways, there's a quite a famous bar in Vancouver called the Town Pump. It's no longer there, unfortunately, but everybody that was anybody, you know, went through there at one point or another. And I believe it was the first time The Hip played Vancouver, they played the Town Pump. And my girlfriend went to see them. And before she went, I had decided that I didn't want to see her anymore. She was super clingy and kind of followed me around. And, you know, being a young man at that age, I wasn't into it. And Craig, who's our bass player in our band now, was sick of me whining about it. So he's like, man, you've got to break up with this girl and you got to break up with her tonight. Like, just man up and do it. And I was anxious about hurting her feelings and, you know, having that confrontation. So we had made plans to see each other the night after this. She was going to this concert with some girlfriends. And so I steeled my resolve and I waited for her at her designated spot. And she showed up and I was building up to giving her the bad news. And before I could get it out, she goes, okay, yeah, we got to talk. Yeah, I'll hear what you got to say. But I just got to tell you about my night last night. Went to the Town Pump. I saw this fantastic band and they were so good. And I really love them. And I knew that you would really love them too. So I bought you their demo CD or cassette, sorry. And she hands it to me. And I was like, well, that was very thoughtful. We're going to have to see each other tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to put off the inevitable. But that was the first time I heard the band almost in an angry state. And then I was like, listened to it and was like, yeah, this is my kind of stuff.
Craig, you've been playing The Hip's music for a long time. So I'm guessing you've seen them a fair number of times. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the times you've seen them?
Oh, yeah. So I think the very first time I saw them was here in Cambridge. At a place called the Northlands, which doesn't exist anymore. That was the same tour as Misty Moon. You know, the New Orleans is Sinking and Blood High Dough just hit the radio and everybody was going crazy for them. So that place was packed. I remember coming out of there, my shirt was soaked. It was just so hot in there from all the bodies.
Yeah.
And I remember Gordy being so intense and just, it was just another, it was an experience like I've never experienced before with a band. And I was close. And there was a point where they were doing the song Fight. And he dismantled his mic stand. So it's like he took his mic, he dropped it, took the clip off, dropped it. And then he took the bell off the bottom of the stand and he rolled it around on the floor, right? And somebody was stupid enough to go and try to grab it and touch the bell, right? And he kind of went after him like as he was going to get him, you know, like he's kind of scared the guy. It's like, rah, you know, one of those, right? That was so cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he puts it all back together and they finish the song. But it was like the song was Fight. It was really cool. Other places I've seen him, like in the U.S., would be like Chicago, Buffalo, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That one there, I went with a buddy. We drove down in his RX-7, and that was the Day for Night tour. I'll never forget that. We stayed at a hotel right beside the Holiday Inn where they played, and they were in the ballroom in the Holiday Inn.
Right.
That was another hot night. And then Europe. I saw them in London. I saw them in Brussels, Amsterdam for two nights. And then, Niagara-on-the-Lake, they did a tour Niagara on the Lake. Seen them here in Kitchener a few times. On the last tour, I saw them in Hamilton and London, and I was behind the stage.
Right.
So we had, like, you know, those bonus tickets that they released.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough that I had friends who won tickets, and then they invited me.
Wow.
So, because I never could win. I never could win anything. I never won a ticket. but I had friends who did. So, and of course, Toronto, I saw them at the ACC, and I saw them at Fort York when they did that tour. And that was just after we got back from the Amsterdam show. So I think that would have been on World Container.
Okay.
I think that's when the Fort York shows were done. In Sable Beach, they did a blues fest
right there.
Yeah, I've seen him a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, your day for night story being down in the States reminds me of one of the first times I saw the Hip was down in Seattle during the day for night. I think the album had just come out, and I was only 20 years old, so I wasn't old enough to get into the club. I went down to Granville Street in Vancouver the week before the show, got a fake ID, went down to the States with my buddy Chad, who coincidentally Ian ended up playing in a band with years later. And that was actually our contact. The way I joined Gift Shop was asking Chad if he could vouch for Ian.
Chad's a beauty.
And anyway, ended up the ID worked, and I got into the show, 500 people at the Under the Rail Club. In Seattle, and just an amazing show, but a little nervous in line. I think nowadays that probably wouldn't work, but it was a pretty nice looking ID.
I saw them in Seattle. I can't remember what tour it is now. I think it was In Between Evolution, and Sam Roberts opened up for him. And he was fantastic, and he was in a really small club called the Showbox.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
And Ed Jovanovski and Brad May from the Canucks were in the crowd, and you could tell that we knew exactly who they were because we were ardent fans, but they had on the two versions of the Tragically Hips merchandise, the hockey jerseys, and they were the only ones in the whole crowd. Everybody had like some handmade thing or something because they didn't have any money, and they had these ridiculous nice hockey jerseys that were like $300 American or something, and it was during the hockey strike, I think. So it was so, and Brad May especially was very gregarious and talked to us for quite a while, and it was a fantastic show. It was like watching them in your living room or something. That's how close we were to it, you know.
I'd like to thank both of you, Craig and Ian, for taking the time to speak with me today. For listeners interested in making a donation to the Gord Downie Fund for Brain Cancer Research or for tickets to the event in July, go to discoveringdowney.com. And Ian, I will see you at JAM next week.
Thanks for including me, and best of luck in the future.
And Craig, I look forward to meeting you in July 19th at the Rec Room in Toronto and seeing your band.
You're coming to Toronto?
Yeah, yeah. I'm flying out for the show. We're going to interview Patrick Downey live on stage, and then we're going to rock out to the Almost Hip and
right
drink some podcast Pilsner. We've got a Long Slice Brewery is making a special beer for the event. And
wow, okay.
We've got some really cool silent auction items. We've got some stuff from the Hip and from the Blue Jays, and Patrick is putting together a little gift basket. It's going to be an awesome night. So can't wait to meet you and to see that. And Ian, can't wait to get back on stage next Friday.
Sounds good, man.
Okay, nice meeting you, Ian. Nice meeting you, Craig. And take care.
You too, man.
All right, take care. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, guys. And as JD would say, pick up your shit.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.